Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Random Dudes first podcast. We got a full house here today. We got Sherrod Tucker, we got Bill Pam, we got Tyler Smith, we got Blake Bickmore. I'm Benjamin Ricks, and we are excited to give you what we want to give you. Unlike some of those other podcasts out there, we do things a little bit different around here. This podcast is going to be everything basketball, primarily NBA. We'll probably touch on some college here and there.
Maybe, but
we're going to focus on the NBA, the National Basketball Association. Guys, this summer has been an eventful summer in basketball. Lots going on.
Yeah.
What are your top stories for the summer of 2016? Tyler, kick us off.
All right, fellas. We all know one of the world premier events that we all look forward to every 4 years, the Olympics. And of course, we couldn't talk about the Olympics without mentioning the fact that the NBA players went to Rio and just ran train against everybody. Although, that brings up a question that I'd like to pose. What was going on with USA Basketball, and why were these games so freaking close, right? We're sending over the best of the best. They go to Rio, and yet they're winning a couple of these games by a couple points in the last second. So why is that? Is the world getting better, or are we just playing down to the competition, or what's going on? I just want to chat a little bit about Olympic basketball and why we can't win more than... win by more the games we're playing. So let's talk about that. What do you got, Dave? Talk to me.
I think there's a little bit. There is, my biggest problem with USA Basketball was ISO ball. There was a lot of just ISO plays. Didn't look like very good team chemistry.
Kyrie.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Kyrie, and it won him a ring. That shot at the end of the finals broke my heart. But it's okay. But in the Olympics, I think that's why they were close games.
Yeah.
We didn't have a true point guard.
So as fans of basketball in the sense of NBA, does it matter? Like the fact that we won gold, right? I mean, is that the ultimate goal? Who cares how we win gold? Or do you like, is it sad to see such ugly basketball?
The thing is, for the normal viewer who doesn't care about NBA basketball,
yeah,
doesn't care about the intricacies of this beautiful game we love, they don't care.
Yeah.
Right? They see the W, they're good to go. They see some suspense, they see some drama at the end of the game. They like it, they're fine. Now, for people like us who live, breathe, and die basketball, it's a travesty. It's a crapshoot out there. You just never know what's going to happen with these NBA players that seem like they're not getting coached out there.
Right.
They're running
around. Pickup ball.
Exactly. It's like pickup ball. Almost seems like, you know, we can run out there and do some damage.
Yeah.
That's not true. But you know, the fact that these other teams are coached by people who have NBA experience and can bring that strategy, strategic element to players that are, by all accounts, decent enough and put together a team that can run like a well-oiled machine, like that's what separates those other teams from how we operate,
yeah,
right? We're living by pure talent alone,
right,
and it's not fun to watch,
yeah,
from the viewpoint of somebody who likes basketball, I think.
Yeah. So here's my thought on the whole thing. We've got these players who are being paid millions of dollars back in the States for their respective teams, and the goal is to win championships. So every 2 years, every 4 years, they got their FIBA thing they got to get involved in. They got their Olympics thing to get involved in. And so to them, yeah, there's a sense of patriotism that they get behind it. But that motivation through a long NBA season to win that championship, to see that check coming in every day, to get those sponsors and all this stuff, it leaves a little bit when you go overseas and you join the Olympic team.
That's true.
And I think they go into it thinking, I can get this done. We're talented enough. We don't need to like really worry about having that level of motivation that we do when it comes to our NBA games, especially playoff NBA games. And that's good enough. They won gold medal. They've won 76 straight games. But in my mind, as the world starts getting better, it's a dangerous, dangerous game to be playing.
Yeah.
And hopefully, in the future, we continue to win gold, we continue to dominate, and we continue to show that NBA basketball is where it's all about.
I'm going to say one thing.
All right, talk to me.
You kicked us off and you said that we were sending our best. I didn't see no LeBron James. I didn't see no Steph Curry.
Fair point.
I didn't see a lot of the great players. Yeah. I didn't see Russell Westbrook.
CP3.
CP3 wasn't there. Are we really sending our best?
That's
and
true.
What does that tell us about what the best think of the Olympics? They're like, oh, we'd rather get rest up for next NBA season. Rest up for the grind. Do the Olympics even matter anymore to a lot of these guys? So what's, like, more important? It sounds like the NBA season is a lot more important to them.
Yeah, I think it matters to some players that can't win a championship in the NBA, so they go to the
Carmelo.
So for like Carmelo Anthony, it definitely matters because that's the only time they actually get to win and play with high quality players. So yeah, of course LeBron's not going to go. He just won an NBA championship, he's taking the summer off.
You have a problem with that? Do you look less of, you know, these players who decide they don't want to go represent their country?
No, I don't have a problem with that, just because, I mean, you said that we're not winning by that much, but I mean, we won by like 40 points.
So as long as we win, who cares who we send?
Yeah.
Once we get that L, you better bring back the redeem team.
I think the people we send are in that unsweet spot between ideal hyper superstars and people that actually play on a team in a team fashion.
Right. Yeah.
We're sending the people that are stars, that are scorers for their team, that don't actually play team basketball, right? So we either go shoot for the stars and try to get the LeBrons to come, or which is not feasible, or we kind of take a step back and get some of the role players involved and get some team chemistry involved and put a good product out there on the court instead of just a bunch of faces that you know.
If you look at the numbers, and I'll leave you with this thought. Kevin Durant doesn't go to Rio, we don't win gold medal.
Okay.
I
actually say if DeAndre Jordan doesn't go, we don't win the gold medal.
Just from a rim protection standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, he was pulling down like 15, 16 rebounds in multiple games. He was the only one protecting the rim. Everyone else we have was shooters or ISO players.
Sure. Too much DeMar DeRozan, too much of that going on.
Hey, but if DeMar DeRozan's pulling down 360 slam dunks in game, even if he misses it, man, I will have him on the team.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So regardless, we won gold. We took care of business. Hopefully we can continue that. And it's always good at the end of a long NBA season, especially for us fans who don't like to see the Cavs win, to have a little bit of Olympic basketball to watch. Get us through the summer and get us to the NBA season.
That is true.
All right, so Tyler,
what's up, dude?
Nice topic.
Thank you.
So, who wants to go next? Who's got next?
I'll go.
Bill, you
let's.
Got it.
I want to talk about a topic that could change up the landscape of the Eastern Conference or not. The New York Knicks.
The New York Knicks.
New look, New York Knicks, and Derrick Rose's comments about how they're a super team, which I'm somewhat hesitant about. They look pretty good. They look like on paper. They could win a championship 4 years ago.
About, 2016 championship, 2017 championship,
not so much.
2010 championship.
Yeah. But with that being said, I think there's some good pieces here, and I think it could work out. So what do you guys think? Is this a team that could be a threat, or is this just...
Well, they're playing in the Eastern Conference, so they're definitely making the playoffs in the Eastern Conference, but no.
Anything
not
better than
that? Top-tier team, I don't think.
45 wins? 50 wins? 55 wins?
I don't know how many wins that they're going to have. I just know that they're not going to win the championship.
Here's what you never know, though. Like, Derrick Rose has not been the same since his injuries, since he's blown out those knees. What Derrick Rose is going to show up here in New York? Like, he sounds recommitted. It sounds like he's re-energized. But will his body hold up? Who knows? If he comes back and he plays even, like, 75% of the level of his MVP season, I think they got a good shot at being, like, number three, number four in the Eastern Conference?
I personally think if it works out, they could be easily the number two seed.
So you're bullish on the Knicks.
I am bullish. Here's why.
Okay, ahead of Toronto?
Ahead of Toronto, yes. So I'll give you a couple of reasons, right?
All right, tell us.
So one,
preach, man.
One, do you guys see how Carmelo Anthony, despite me hating him for the way he plays, kind of lit it up in the Olympics a little bit.
Okay.
He always
does. I'll give you the reason why.
But when Kevin Durant's on one wing, I mean, obviously
exactly,
he's going to have more
right?
shots, though.
He has space, right? Right?
Okay.
He's not limited to ISO ball in the corner by himself. He needs people to create him space, right? He's not the first option ball handler on the Olympic team, not by a long shot. and he's spotting up a lot more, and he hits spot-up shots. That's what you want him to be. You want him to be a shooter and not a scorer, ideally, in an offense, right? And I think the pieces they picked up grants him that space. So, number one, Derrick Rose, right? Assuming he comes back healthy, he'll be able to draw a lot of pressure from the defense. Number two, Joakim Noah coming in, that's actually really good, because if they're running the Princeton offense over there, the triangle, they need a big man they can pass, right? And Joakim Noah does that. So if you put those two pieces together with the fact that you have a stretch four that can actually shoot threes now, I think you create enough space for Carmelo to actually stop being a ball stopper and become more of an off-ball player. And I think that's where he thrives, and that's where he makes all his buckets. And it's part of the reason why in the Olympics he actually succeeds. It's because he doesn't have to sit there and ISO one on three.
I think the problem, though, with the Knicks isn't necessarily the offense. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone would argue that Carmelo is gifted offensively. Who was it? Was it Paul Pierce that said he was, like, number, like, three on his list of, like, hardest players to guard?
He was the hardest player.
Yeah. But what happens defensively? I mean, he doesn't play defense. Does Derrick Rose play defense? I don't know. Joakim Noah, I won't deny that he hustles all the time, but is he going to play? Like, is he going to be that much of a difference maker at the rim? Porzingis, I mean, he could really be the star, and I mean, this really could be his team, just depending on how things go. I don't know.
So you guys are all not high on the Knicks.
No. I gotta wait to see him play. Okay. There's a lot of ants. Like, yeah, everything absolutely. You said was like assuming this.
Yes.
So the jury's still out.
I think it all depends on what you can do at this point, though.
Yeah, exactly. It's all you can do. And, you know, a lot of things could happen. Obviously, everything has to line up for the Knicks. But if things do line up, I think they have a good shot at taking the Cavs.
Number two seed
taking the Cavs.
Pacers?
Wow.
Pacers are great.
Pacers? Yeah. Wow. Celtics are coming up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Number two seed.
I think their ceiling is, like, number four seed. I think they're the fourth best team.
Who's
in the East?
Who's on their bench?
Who's coming off the bench? It's a serious
you and I
Lance Thomas.
And you're going to be the number two seed in the Eastern Conference.
Let's be honest here, though.
Everybody's coming off the bench.
It doesn't matter who is on their team. They are not getting to the NBA Finals.
No, we can all agree there.
It makes some good TV, though. I mean, like, it's interesting to see the dynamics. I appreciate people trying to get the teams together to challenge.
I'm excited for the New York Knicks-Chicago Bulls rivalry to be somewhat relevant again. Yeah. I can't wait for that game to come up on the calendar.
Bulls are going to kill them. Oh, wait, we didn't even mention the Bulls in the East.
I think the Bulls don't even make it in the top five.
What?
I think the Knicks will
Jimmy Buckets, Dwayne Wade.
And Rajon Rondo. If Rajon Rondo behaves and doesn't throw tantrums.
Guarantee. All right, do we need to smell a bet?
All right, this is reported. Put it on wax. The Knicks will finish ahead of the Bulls this year.
No way.
Oh, my heard. Number two seed taking the Cavs to six. On wax.
No way.
Okay.
It's down on paper. It's in stone.
I'll be able to do it.
Alright. We'll see what happens. We'll have to hold you to that one. Alright, Dave, what do you got for us? What was the big highlight of the summer of 2016 thus far to here on September the 8th?
September the 8th, my big highlight was a dream that I had as a child, is to play against NBA players. Because everyone, if you play basketball when you're growing up, you sit in your driveway and you imagine game-winning shots, or you imagine playing with Kobe. Well, he's not in the league anymore. Playing with Steph, whatever it may be. And some kids this summer got that opportunity to go to these camps with Andre Drummond or Russell Westbrook or Steph. And these players had no mercy on the kids. The players were sitting there blocking these kids' shots. I saw a player cross the kid over till he fell and then dunk the ball. I think that's awesome. As a little kid, I would have loved to get crossed up by Steph. But in Japan, a 17-year-old boy blocked Steph Curry's game winner.
Does that mean anything?
Embarrassing.
So my take on the whole, like, you know, you see these 7-second videos of, like, just these kids being swatted. It's like, it was funny the first couple times I saw it, but now it's like everybody's doing it. They're all posting their videos. They're all dunking all over these kids. So there's still, like, that entertainment factor, but, you know, it's kind of, like, run its course, in my opinion, from the summer camp league.
Yep.
Now, watching Steph get blocked was fantastic, because you never see the opposite. And I think that speaks to the fact that you've got a player, the MVP of the National Basketball Association.
First unanimous MVP.
Exactly. 6'1", what does he weigh, like 180 pounds, like tiny dude. He looks like me. But he, and that kind of lowers his stature in some respects and gives players that maybe are taller than him or athletic able to block him, which I think is cool for a lot of young players. They're trying to figure out, maybe one day I could be in the league, to see a player of his stature, of his size, have the level of skill he has. So I loved him getting blocked. I thought it was fantastic. Thankfully, he didn't throw his mouth guard into the crowd. But it was enjoyable nonetheless.
I bet you that kid in Japan got drafted by a Japanese team immediately. He has a contract right now.
I will also say Steph's reaction to that situation, it could have been a lot worse if it was, say, Jordan, right? Jordan would have went at that kid.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about an instance where that happened. Mm-hmm. Remember when Jordan Crawford dunked on LeBron James? Yeah, it was like 10 years ago, and that was like, caught on video.
Yeah.
I mean,
it happened.
You Blake doesn't Blake's puzzled up here, but it happened at like a secret, like closed doors Nike camp or something like that. I mean, that was like a big deal. Everyone was like on LeBron for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his response, I mean, you didn't really get to see it in that video, but I can't imagine it be anything like Steph's was.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, I think the contrast between the videos you see of NBA players blocking little kids and then Steph Curry getting blocked just adds fuel to the fire that Curry's kind of weak.
Wow. Oh.
That's another topic for another day, I think.
No, he's not.
Weeks mm-hmm.
All right, Blake, what do you got for us?
So
highlight summer 2016 thus far.
I think the biggest story of the summer was Tim Duncan retiring, because mainly from just the standpoint of how different it was compared to Kobe Bryant's
farewell. The farewell tour.
Kobe did the farewell tour, and then in the last game, he took 50 shots. And like watching that game, it was fun to see him just shoot as many times as possible, because that's pretty indicative of the rest of his career. He just shot as much as possible. And so I think it was fitting that the last, like the fourth quarter, players were turning down open shots and just like giving it to Kobe so he could force up some garbage shot. Took him 50 shots to get to whatever he got to, 60 or something. Then you look at Tim Duncan, didn't do the farewell tour, made the playoffs, was, you know, a pretty good contributor all the way to the end, and then just kind of like in very Tim Duncan fashion, just kind of slunked away out of the
back to the Virgin Islands.
Just like, yeah. Where is he? Like, why was there not this press conference for like a top five player maybe of all time? Definitely the best power forward of all time, retiring after 20 years. And also because it's kind of like the official changing of the guard, where there's no more 90s basketball, because all the, if there are any more players from the 90s still playing.
Vince Carter.
They're not relevant anymore.
The last
two relevant 90s players are gone, so we no longer have any 90s basketball.
That's going to be so weird.
Yeah.
When the NBA starts, Timmy and Kobe are not playing.
Yeah.
Also, it's just a generational thing in terms of how the game is played, right? I mean, last the old guard. Last guy out the door, to some extent.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about something for a second. Let's talk about these farewell tours in professional sports. I mean, I think it kind of started with Derek Jeter just like a few years ago, like his big farewell tour with the Yankees. And then Rivera had his like the next year, and then Kobe announced he's retiring early in the season, had a farewell tour. What do you think of those? Is that something that's like, do you like the idea of having the farewell tour, knowing that, hey, they're retiring this year, like I gotta go out and see everyone, and it's a show all about them? Or do you like prefer, do you respect more like the Tim Duncan who goes quiet into the night?
I think Kobe did it because he knew that his team was not going to get it. Like
the buses were like, Kobe, we're giving a farewell tour, we're going to sell tickets.
Yeah, they were like, there's nobody's coming to watch the Lakers.
That might have been manufactured by the front office, like, hey, we need to sell some tickets.
We need to do something. Like, Timmy, they were contenders for the title. not even just making the playoffs. So
yeah,
I think that's a pretty big reason.
I think it depends. Like, a lot of it is what the fans want, right? Like, I think about Derek Jeter, and like, he did his farewell tour. David Ortiz is doing his in baseball right now, in the middle of baseball season. And like, the fans want to be able to celebrate the accomplishments he's had in the field. So there's this balance between like the circus that is Kobe Bryant's farewell tour and balancing like, let me make sure I give a good show to the fans in these different cities as I retire as being one of the legends of the game. I actually would venture a guess that like some of the fans of Tim Duncan would have loved to be able to like give him a farewell and kind of have some sort of tour. But like you said, that's not Tim Duncan's way.
Tim would never have done that.
Yeah.
Because I think he even announced it like via like a cell phone video. Like it was just like him like sitting in like, you know, I don't know, somewhere and just said, hey, yeah, I'm done. And that was it. He was like really low key.
I know, so now
he's probably literally sitting on the beach doing nothing. Who knows what.
I wouldn't be surprised if we don't hear much out of Tim Duncan
ever again.
Yeah. He's just sitting in the Virgin Island just hanging out.
I think in the grand scheme of things, I don't think these farewell tours mean anything. Like, if you honestly remember back in 2003 when Jordan was retiring with the Wizards, he kind of had a farewell tour his last season. But when you think back on it...
It's something to sell the tickets.
Yeah, it just sells the tickets. I mean, it helps the organization more than it does the person. And maybe it's more for the fans than anything, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
But did you guys see the numbers that the Staples Center the merchandise numbers that they sold on Kobe's last game?
No.
It's like more than $1 million.
I would hope it's more than $1 million.
Okay, maybe that was a silly... $1.2 million worth of only Kobe merchandise.
Oh, no
This way. Is not concessions or ticket sales or anything.
In one day.
It's like Kobe jerseys and...
Like a pair of
jeans. Yeah, there was a hat that was $40,000. Just a hat. And people bought it. They were sold out.
I think it's Benjamin Ricks who bought it.
That's Ivan, man. Christian's doing that Kobe stuff.
So, yeah, my story is that one of the greatest players of all time retired and nobody made a big deal about it.
Yeah.
Timmy D, thank you for bringing in that bank shot.
Yeah. One of the greatest ever.
All right, great topics, guys. But there is one that rose to the top for me. And it has to do with the GOAT, with Michael Air Jordan. You guys see this at Michael Jordan's flight camp out in Santa Barbara, California. Chris Paul was running the show and challenged Jordan to a shooting game in which if he missed 3 shots, all the campers would get free Jordans. So it's basically a game of around the world where Jordan just kind of starts with like layup, goes around, does the 3-point line, the arc, everything. And the challenge is if he misses 3 shots, all the campers get free shoes.
I want free shoes.
I'd love to have free shoes.
Dude, free, especially some free Jordans.
Yeah.
Indeed. Anyways, Jordan goes up there, cold-blooded killer, ice water in his veins, and knocks down every single freaking shot in Michael Jordan fashion.
Jordan doesn't miss from nobody.
Kids, nobody.
We know that MJ is a mogul, and he's constantly counting his money. I think he's a billionaire now. He's not trying to give out shoes to every single one. This is an investment right now.
I don't think it was about money. I think it was about no one will ever see Michael Jordan miss for anyone.
Man.
It was competitive. Like, he didn't care. It could have been kids. It could have been anyone.
All-time competitive.
Could have been feeding starving children somewhere in Africa, and he would not care.
He would not miss, and then afterwards he'd be like, all right, I'll still give you the money because you people that need it.
Yes.
But I'm not giving you money because you think I miss. No. I don't miss.
Love it.
I definitely have to tip my cap to Benjamin Rick's story here. I think this is a perfect representation of everything that is Michael Jordan. Just not caring about anybody but himself trying to win. No matter what the competition was.
The greatest competitor in the history of sports. And that's not it. There's a second half to the story. Jordan could have redeemed himself or whatever, redeemed himself with the kids. But what he does is right afterwards, he says, he challenges Chris Paul. Says, Chris Paul, if you can match what I just did, the kids will get free shoes. So not even making it any easier, not even the same challenge that he had where he had missed 3 shots or whatever. Chris Paul's got to go through it. He goes around and misses his last shot. No Chris shoes. Paul letting the kids
can't match
down.
The GOAT.
Oh, man.
CP3.
We need to get the GOAT as a guest on our show.
I know, he's a Tariel, man.
Exactly. We should try to make that happen.
Yeah. Jordan, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on the show.
Please call in. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening to our first podcast. Really excited. We're going to try to make this a weekly occurrence. Who knows what we're going to do every episode. We're going to get some guests in here, some untraditional guests, to talk about everything basketball. So anyways, thanks for listening. Please subscribe. Please listen. Until next time, guys, see you around.
Peace.
Peace.